Politics, sports, entertainment? Yeah, we've got that. It's WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Rob Center, our fabulous producer, rolling with the punches today. We very much appreciate his help and hard work, his flexibility, and his professionalism. How about that? We're on Team Rob Center around here. On the news line with us now, we continue our discussion about the violence, the violent pro-Trump insurrectionist that went into the U.S. Capitol yesterday. We have on the news line with us now Dr. Chris Ellis, a professor of political science at Bucknell University, co-director of the Bucknell Institute for Public Policy. I think there have definitely been some tragedies this year, but Chris, this has been your time. People's behavior is fascinating all the time, but in the past couple of years, it's been truly remarkable. Comment on that, if you would, that we're seeing the best and worst of everyone these days.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's absolutely true. And you know, to be honest, we've been seeing the worst of everyone in the past couple of weeks or so. I mean, I think, you know, there's been some stuff that's happened over the past couple of years, past couple of months that have been, you know, obviously violent, have been sort of insurrection-based, but I don't think we've ever seen, or at least we haven't seen for 150 years, what we saw yesterday, and not for the actions of the Capitol Police, it would have gotten, you know, even so much worse. So, I mean, I think yesterday was as close as we've come in really quite some time in this country to not having a government work the way democratic government should, and that's a little bit scary, to be honest with you.
What did you see yesterday? You watched all of the same video images we saw. What did you see happening?
Yeah, I mean, without, you know, any special insight, without being there, I mean, we saw, the word you used was insurrection. I think that's probably as close as you're going to get. I mean, you know, we had protests over the summer for different things that turned violent sometimes, and there was obviously reason to condemn a lot of that stuff. But actually storming the U.S. Capitol building and going in there and, you know, ransacking members' offices and taking over the speaker's chair, the majority leader's chair, and things like that, I mean, that's something that, you know, even during the Civil War, we didn't really see that. So that was something that again was almost without precedent in American history. And then just I hope we never see it again.
And your reaction? Well, you just alluded to it with that last sentence. Your reaction to what you saw?
Yeah, I mean it was dangerous. But I think, you know, the good news is, at the end of the day, democracy prevailed, and in a weird way, sort of prevailed in a bipartisan fashion. Right? I mean, Vice President Pence, Senator Leader McConnell, Chuck Schumer, all these people sort of made statements that sounded, you know, reasonably similar to each other, that, you know, we're going to continue to do the work of the people and we're going to continue to do democracy's work. And so, you know, the fact that they came back that night to certify the results and do, you know, honestly do the right thing and do it in a bipartisan manner, I think was probably the most reassuring thing, right? After a really dangerous and scary day, you know, it sort of showed that, I mean, I guess the institutions of our government are sort of built to live on, and we saw them tested yesterday, but I think, you know, I think they did at the end of the day.
Well, we have this bitter division in the U.S. right now. What do you see happening going forward? How can, you know, what do you see in the weeks and months ahead?
I mean, it's going to be challenging, right? Because now we're going to have, you know, what appears in all likelihood to be a unified Democratic government, but with very slim majorities. They're probably going to have a difficult time getting anything done. And so I think you're going to see, you know, various groups of people angry. I think you're going to see, you know, progressives who thought that a Biden win would sort of lead to all sorts of, you know, major changes in American politics. That's probably not going to happen. Certainly the Trump loyalists are probably not going to let this go, even though apparently Donald Trump last night said, you know, we'll have an orderly transition of power. And, you know, to be honest, I think the Republican Party has a lot of soul searching to do, right? A lot of people did the right thing yesterday, but sort of have, you know, sort of enabled this for quite some time. And so we're going to have to sort of figure that out, right? I mean, I certainly don't think we're going to enter into a period of, you know, kumbaya, everybody's compromising the way they did in the 50s or even in 2000. But I think last night was, or yesterday was sort of a, was kind of as close as we have to a major reckoning in the U.S. politics. And you know, at least if we're not going to compromise on policy, if we're not going to compromise on issues, at least maybe we can turn the temperature down, because it sort of suggests, you know, what we saw yesterday. If it keeps this going this way, you know, we're heading towards a really dark place. So, you know, we'll probably still see gridlock and all that stuff. But I'm hopeful that this is the moment where we say we can't just attack people as people. We have to attack ideas. And we maybe can start moving back in that direction.
Well, and I just really appreciate what you just said, this idea that, you know, the blame should be spread around. President Trump, of course, is the conductor, but he's not the orchestra. You know, he didn't break any windows yesterday. He didn't say any of the things that Nancy Pelosi or Antifa or anybody else said at any time in the past year. He didn't, you know, he hasn't really participated in what is the street-level arguments that have been going on. This nation is going to have to pull together, or is this our fate, to stay divided?
I mean, I think, you know, we're sort of at a point, and there's lots of different reasons for this, where, you know, we're probably going to stay divided on issues. I can't imagine Democrats and Republicans coming together on abortion or police reform or stuff like that. But I hope what happened yesterday is sort of a recommittal to maybe the norms of democracy, that we fight on a level playing field, we fight on an even playing field. And, you know, I said this summer with some of the Antifa protests, like, this is not acceptable to happen in, you know, Portland or other major cities. And now to see it come to the U.S. Capitol, the seat of our democracy, is just crazy. And, you know, hopefully this is the point where people sort of wake up a little bit and realize that. So, you know, whether we actually pass policies that Democrats or Republicans like, I have no idea, but I am hopeful that this is sort of the moment where we at least kind of recommit ourselves to, you know, what a democracy is supposed to look like. And what, you know, to be frank, for quite some time was the leading beacon of light democracy in the world is supposed to look like. And can we get back to that? And hopefully we'll sort of move in that direction.
What's the media's role in this? You like to study that, and we come up with a summary term called the media, and I'm part of it. So
yeah.
What's our role in this?
I mean, that's a really good question. I've been thinking about that a lot. I mean, I think there has been, you know, to be honest, what was the phrase, Trump derangement syndrome in the media, I think, a little bit, in terms of, you know, trying to find everything that was wrong with him and trying to belittle his supporters, and I think that's been, you know, not your show excluded, of course, but I think that's been a part of at least sort of the major national media. And that said, I think a fairly justified sense of resentment among some of his supporters. But at the same time, you know, if we look at, you know, what drives ratings on cable television and, you know, all that, what drives clicks and things like that, you know, Trump has been like manna from heaven for a lot of media outlets. And so, you know, there's been, on one hand, this sort of, you know, condemnation and belittling of his supporters who might have justified resentments to sort of, you know, reject what had been the two major parties. But at the same time, I think, you know, that Trump sucks up all the oxygen coverage for quite some time has been, you know, it's been hard, right? Because it's been the kind of thing that, you know, people then glom onto, people look at, people talk about. And, you know, I mean, I'm reasonably convinced that a lot of people voted for Joe Biden for president just so they could forget who the president was and not have to deal with this 24/7. And you know, that I think, you know, this, I mean, what happened yesterday is certainly not the media's fault, but I think we're sort of seeing the culmination of, you know, 4 or 5 years of just Trump saturation all the time. And that's been, you know, I think that's been not, it's been taking what's a smoldering grease fire and throwing gasoline on it, I think.
Or a smoldering dumpster fire seems to be the
term
du jour these days. Well, I asked my previous guest, we had a chance to talk to Congressman Jolly 20 minutes ago, and I'll ask you the same thing. What about our neighbors? You know, my neighbor has knows that I tend to vote more Democrat than Republican most times, and so she put a sign in her window that faces my house that says Trump 2020, and so that I can see it, you know, at any time if I look that direction. So What about our neighbors? You know, you can travel right outside. I don't know where you live, but you can travel right outside Lewisburg, and you will see a red Trump flag just like the one that was draped over the back of the one of the young men on the floor of the U.S. Senate chambers yesterday was parading around. What about our neighbors? And take it down to one-on-one.
And that's a really good point, because it starts there, right? That, you know, for better or worse, I think American political debates for a long time were sort of, you know, were kind of checked or held in check because we had neighbors, right? And we paid attention to them and we cared about them and all that sort of stuff. And now it seems, one, we don't talk to our neighbors as much anymore, which, you know, there's lots of reasons for that, but we close our garage at night and go home. And two, we're starting to try to live and associate with not just at home, but at work with people that think and look like us. And that's, you know, once you don't see humanity on the other side, then that becomes the biggest challenge that I can think of, right? I mean, so you made the point really good, right? I think, you know, if you go a few minutes outside of Lewisburg, you see like literal Trump shrines and things like that. You know, but on Bucknell's campus, it's, you know, if you're a conservative student, it's actually really hard because of some of the things that our faculty do and some of the things that our, you know, administration does and things like that. And if we're not humanizing our neighbors, then it's very difficult to humanize national politics. And that would be, you know, if there's a, you know, not there's a magic silver bullet solution, but if there is one, it is that, right? It's, you know, get to know your neighbor as someone other than a political figure, but as someone who has hobbies and kids and lives, and that more than anything, I think, is the most important thing we can do.
Anything else you'd like to mention? Anything important? I do most interviews and don't ask the most important questions, so what else would you like to say?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think like most people, I was sort of just watching yesterday with an open jaw, trying to figure out exactly what was going on. And, you know, the pessimist in me thinks that, you know, this is like, okay, this is what American politics is going to look like now. Everyone's going to challenge every election. Everyone's going to claim voter fraud. And Democrats are not innocent of this, too, although they never stormed the Capitol. You know, but you know, everything is going to be contested like this. I mean, I think the optimist in me is hoping that this is like, all right, now it's gotten real. Like, now this looks, I think it was George W. Bush yesterday that said, this is how we contest elections in a banana republic, not a real republic. And my hope is that people can realize that and at least, you know, if we're not going to compromise, at least take the temperature down to where this democracy looks like what it's supposed to look like and what it has looked like for most of our recent history.
Well, thank you so much for your insights. Keep in touch. We always love talking to you. As soon as feasible, we'll get you back in the studio down here as well for this and plus our On the Mark show. Thank you, Dr. Ellis.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Do appreciate that. Chris Ellis, PhD, professor of political science at Bucknell, co-director of the Bucknell Institute for Public Policy at Bucknell University. Of course, we will have a discussion about this on WDKOK's live telephone talk show On the Mark at 8:30 this morning. WDKOK News Time, it is now 7:56.